With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. So what do you think when you hear someone identify themselves as an LGBTQ Christian? Maybe your response is, well, that's a contradiction in terms. That's an oxymoron. Or maybe you have a more nuanced response and say, what do you mean by that? Are you identifying as a lesbian, a gay man, bisexual, transgendered, or queer? And how does that square with that other word, Christian? There's a St. Louis conference for quote-unquote LGBT Christians coming up here in the area, and Andrew Walker is a little concerned. He joins us to talk about it. He's director of policy studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and author of a recent column titled, What About Revoice? Andrew, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me on.
In a general sense, why should we not treat the issues surrounding human sexuality in the church as a mere academic exercise?
That's a great question. And the reason that this cannot simply be left as an intellectual or academic exercise, as important as those types of conversations are, is that behind every intellectual and academic conversation, there are real life implications for individuals who are struggling with their gender and sexuality. And so, you know, again, I want to have these conversations about desires and about gender identity and about parsing out the theological and biblical definitions of each. But, you know, at the end of the day, as I talked about in my article, there are impressionable individuals who are at a place of suffering and vulnerability and uncertainty. And so while questions of theology are never less than theological and academic, they are more than that as well, because we're talking about how we counsel people to be more like Christ and how people can experience human flourishing. And so I want to, you know, as we're having these academic conversations, keep in mind that there are people that are hurting, that are listening to these conversations. And if we don't get this conversation right, we can actually lead these people down paths that could produce sin in their lives.
So what is the Revoice Conference?
The Revoice Conference is a conference being held in St. Louis by individuals who would call themselves LGBT Christians, who are gathering together to kind of explore what it means to be a person who identifies as LGBT, but also as Christian, to build community with one another, and to kind of explore, again, at this kind of pastoral and also academic level, to what degree can someone identify as LGBT, but also be Christian. Now, I want to also say that the sponsors of Revoice are very fulsome and clear that they see themselves as operating within a historical, biblical, sexual ethic. And I want to commend them insofar as that commitment is upheld and affirmed. Now, obviously, there are some concerns about some of the content that we see happening at the conference, but at the level of intention, I want to commend brothers and sisters who are struggling with same-sex attraction or a sense of gender identity and are figuring out what faithfulness looks like. My hope is that individuals at this conference will continue to go down this path affirming faithfulness and not trying to find their identity in their sexuality or in their sense of gender, but would see their identity more a function of being in union with Christ and not in union with broken desires, whether sexual desires or broken psychological perceptions.
So what in particular raises your concerns? And we should say here, these are not your concerns alone. These are concerns that are shared by many who are observing, often from the outside in, regarding the Revoice. You've expressed those concerns, but what in particular raises those for you?
A lot of my concerns arise out of this question of identity and this question of language. Proponents of the Revoice Conference, they see no conflict in referring to themselves as LGBT Christians. And I think that's problematic because we don't want to add a descriptor to the term Christian where that description is something that's considered a vice in the Bible. I think calling yourself a same-sex attracted Christian is entirely different than referring to yourself as an LGBT Christian or a gay Christian, because that connotation in the culture has a much greater moral, social, and political connotation than simply acknowledging about yourself that you struggle with same-sex attraction. So there's this identity issue that's problematic, but then also this language issue. To me, they are appropriating secular categories and trying to Christianize them. The problem is that I think they're actually ending up falling into a secular pit in terms of how secular voices use these terms more than they can be truly Christianized. And so then as well, you have different breakouts or panels that are happening at the Revoice Conference. Like there's one called Redeeming Queer Community. And I think a topic of that nature, I don't know how something like that could be situated in a way that makes it congruent or compatible with biblical Christianity, because how the term queer community is used in the culture is incongruent with what we would say is a historical biblical sexual ethic. So to summarize, there's linguistic problems with Revoice, and there are questions about how this conference is construing the idea of what it means to have an identity.
So here's a very rough analogy, and I want to know if it might at least be serviceable here in this case. There are heterosexual people who are obviously tempted toward heterosexual deviancy, which in the case of, say, a married person, it would be adultery, extramarital affairs. It would be a mixed message theologically and sociologically for there to be a conference for Christian adulterers or something like that, or to have a breakout saying redeeming adulterous Christian community or something like that. Because the word adultery, at least for now, is quite obviously considered a, at least popularly considered, a vice, a bad thing. And it sounds like the organizers of Revox may not, or being a little naive in assuming that things like queer community has no moral force and no message both in the church and outside the church.
Yeah, that's right. I want to affirm and agree with everything you just said. I don't see how it is appropriate to take categories, whether it is homosexual desire or heterosexual desire, that is misdirected when it's directed towards someone who is not your spouse, and find a sanctionable, serviceable identity in that. We are to, in Scripture, mortify the desires of the flesh, and we are to do battle with them. And to the degree that we even give an inch for these desires to be fanned into flame or to be seen as sanctifiable, I think we are going beyond what the Scriptures allow.
Is there also a problem here, even within the pale of the visible church, context? Because certainly the organizers of Revoice must be aware that there are broad swaths of liberal Protestantism that are more than happy to embrace all the sociological ramifications of LGBTQ or the other kind of community terms there. It seems like only context alone would be a good caution against sending a mixed message here.
I think that's right. And I think that's one of the reasons that in the long term, I don't see movements like this having a real sustainable path, because they're trying to split the deck, so to speak, and end up on the one hand trying to not identify with today's sexual progressives and gender progressives, but on the other hand, trying to identify with a biblical Christian sexual and gender ethic, but to do that in a way that I think is less than biblically faithful and problematic, even if they say that they are upholding a biblical Christian sexual ethic. And again, I really do. I don't want to pile on brothers and sisters who are attempting to live faithfully. That's one of my concerns with the critics of Revoice, is that in our attempts to be faithful and offer healthy and helpful rebuttals, that we are further distancing same-sex attracted brothers and sisters who feel like we are alienating them. I don't want that to be the case, because insofar as they are holding to a biblical sexual ethic, I want to affirm and encourage that. What I would appeal to these brothers and sisters who are going down this path is to question their prudence and to question the wisdom of utilizing categories and language that, again, progressives are using, but then not using it in the same way that progressives are using it, but then also, on the other hand, trying to abide by a Christian sexual ethic that I think is problematic and, again, has really, really problematic implications pastorally for individuals who struggle with gender or sexuality.
Finally, the term that keeps popping up in my head here, Andrew, to express your concerns and those of others, is the danger of equivocation. Does that about summarize it?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think to the degree that we try to find an identity in something that the scriptures prohibit and consider a sinful desire, in 1 Corinthians 6, homosexuality is referred to as a past tense reality that defines someone and someone's actions. To the extent that we are taking categories that are considered a vice in scripture and trying to valorize them and trying to find some type of affirmable identity in those categories, we're telling people in the culture that you can be both Christian and both gay or transgender, and that there is not a conflict or an incongruence there. And I think biblically, again, there is.
Andrew Walker is Director of Policy Studies at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and he's author of a recent column titled, What About Revoice? You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is from regular guest Craig Parton. It's called Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims, answering the basic question of whether various truth claims can stand up to the scrutiny of, well, just history and facts and science. Christianity can. What about the other religions? You could read more about it in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, when we talk with Cal Beisner about a religious priority for climate change. Stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, The Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.